Hey folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and my co-host Todd LaDuc, episode 47.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit firstnet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, and this is the LifeScan Learning Lab edition with my co-host, retired Chief Todd LaDuc, as well as currently, of course, the Chief Strategy Officer with LifeScan Wellness Centers. Welcome, Todd. Thanks, of course, for having me as your co-host on this special edition of LifeScan Learning Lab.
Absolutely. Thanks, Donnie, and always a pleasure as we continue to discuss topics of importance to the service. It's an honor to continue to collaborate and work with you. So, and you know, I'm especially honored and excited actually to have a friend and colleague who I've known for a number of years and who's done great work in the fire service and joining us today. And I want to welcome Chief Reggie Freeman and say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, Chief, to join us. And I want to kind of just start by, you've had really an illustrious career, and it's covered a number of different areas of the service and different departments. I wonder if you could just start by telling our listeners a little bit about your journey on how you ended up in the fire service. I think I actually met you through a colleague who says to say hi. Chief Pat McAllister retired. I spoke to her yesterday. You were both at the Harvard Fellowship Program. And she came back talking about this young and up and coming chief. And I think our paths crossed perhaps through IFC after that or CPSC. But why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Chief, and good morning. And also to Dr. Hutchison, thank you both so much for having me. And wow, Chief, you're bringing back memories talking about Chief McAllister. I was 29 years old, I believe, when I was going through that program with Chief McAllister. And you talk about a consummate professional and someone who really exemplifies what a great fire officer should be. She's certainly a good friend, and please send my well wishes to her on my behalf. You know, my career has been interesting. I didn't take the traditional track that fire service members would take as they embark on taking on the challenges of the greatest profession on the planet on the earth, and that's fire and emergency services. I started off as a firefighter EMT in Mississippi, and then after 4 or 5 years, went over into Iraq as a civilian fire chief, worked in Iraq from November 2004 to November 2008. And I call it dog years because even though it was only 4 actual years, it felt like 20. And I grew up very, very fast while in Iraq because I was an officer. I was an officer with literally just 4 or 5 years on the job and learned a lot about leadership, not only from observing what great leadership looked like, and then also leadership that you do not want to duplicate. And then also through learning from my errors and my mistakes. And I'm very fortunate to this day to be able to make those mistakes early on in my career in comparison to doing it later on. You know, I call it CEMs, right? You have two different types of CEMs. You have career enhancing moves, and then you also have career ending moves. So I was able, luckily, I've never made a career ending move at any point in my career, thankfully, knock on wood, but certainly grew up very fast in Iraq as an officer, as a young officer. From Iraq, I went on to be the fire chief at Lockheed Martin. After Lockheed Martin, I was recruited to be the assistant chief of support services here in Hartford. Did that for 2 or 3 years and then went back to Lockheed, was recruited to go back to Lockheed to be the Aeronautics Headquarters Fire Chief based out of Fort Worth, Texas, and spent a lot of time in Japan helping the Department of Defense in Japan, as well as Italy, Ministry of Defense in Italy to provide fire protection for the F-35, and had orders to go to Italy for a 15-month TDY. And then that's when Mayor Broning called me, said, "Hey, I'm looking for a fire chief and your name keeps coming up. Do you mind coming and having a sit down with me?" And so my mind had already transitioned to Italy because it's in the Milan area. It's absolutely gorgeous. Lockheed Martin was paying for the villa. They're paying for my daughter's American school tuition. We got food per diem to live in Milan. I mean, it was it was like a paid vacation. I mean, who would want to pass that up, right? So I told the mayor, I said, "Hey, you know, appreciate it, Mr. Mayor, but just to let you know, I have orders to go to Milan, and it's Milan, Italy, not Milan, Texas. Nothing against Milan, Texas." But so I went up, had a sit down, and was certainly very impressed with the mayor's vision, impressed with his track record. It was actually the first time in my life I'd had an opportunity to work for someone that was my age. You know, Mayor Broning, he's a Rhodes Scholar, just a very impressive person and an extraordinary leader. So I accepted his offer to come back to Hartford as the fire chief. And at 37 years old, on February 1st, 2016, I was sworn in as a 37th fire chief and emergency management director for the capital city of the state of Connecticut. And then most recently, I have been announced as the next fire chief for Oakland, California, which I'm certainly excited about the challenges and the opportunities that that's going to bring as well.
No, well, first of all, Chief, thank you for your service. I know Donnie, it's particular, I'm sure, meaningful to yourself. I know your son was in the 82nd Airborne and deployed, and I know you've served as well. So thank you both for your personal and family's commitment to service. And
hey, Todd, let me jump in on a second, please, if I could. So Chief, you mentioned your daughter. Tell me a little bit about the family. So, one daughter or is there more?
I have two. So first I'll start off with the boss of the household, my wife, Erin. We met our junior year in high school and we have been married now for 17 years. And we have two beautiful daughters, Harmony, who is 8 years old, which I named, by the way, and Joy, who is 3. And the interesting thing about Joy is when we found out that we were going to have our second beautiful baby, you know, my wife and I, we decided to pull Harmony aside and put her on the couch and say, "Hey, you're going to be a big sister." So I had the pleasure of doing that. My wife made the mistake of allowing me to do that, right? So I sit down on the couch and I say, "Harmony, you know, guess what? You're going to be a big sister." She's like, "Yay, be a big sister." So then just instinctively, I don't know what I was thinking, it just kind of happened. I said, "So what do you want her name to be?" Now, I had already had my mind made up that I wanted a unique name and something similar to Harmony's name. Yeah. This is just how great God works, right? So after I ask her, what do you want your baby sister's name to be? She says, Joy. So I look at my wife, I look back at, and she's giving me this death stare. I'll never forget it. She's giving me this death stare. Every time I bring it up, she laughs. She gave me this death stare, and I looked back at Harmony. I said, okay, Joy it is. And so that's how Joy was named. So love all of my ladies. They center me, they ground me, they're my motivation, they're my inspiration. Luckiest man on the planet.
That is awesome. And an awesome story. Thank you.
Certainly is. You know, you touched on so many aspects, and that's the one thing that sticks out when I think of you, Chief, is you touch so many different corners of the fire service, you know, private sector, DOD, old traditional departments. And you touched on, I think, an area that we all kind of deal with, which is failures. And you know, it's been said, and I'm sure you alluded to it, that often our greatest learning opportunities come from failures, particularly if we embrace failure and learn from it. And that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk to you about, is your service and work that you've done. And I know I've been involved over the years with the Center for Public Safety Excellence, and how, whether that's agency accreditation or professional credentialing, how that whole process and your involvement with it drives our service to be a better service, to be better chiefs, to be better servant leaders. You talk a little bit about your work that you've done with CPSC and where you see that model with the fire service.
So that's a great question, Chief. And you know, for me, my first day in a firehouse was February 19th, 2001. And I got credentialed as a chief fire officer designee in 2008 as I was leaving Iraq. And, you know, when I think about as I travel and I lecture, whether it be in a keynote or just doing a presentation at one of the major industry conferences, I always pose a question to the group or mention, what is your definition of competency? Because traditionally in the fire service, competency was equivalent to tenure. That was applicable and safe to do, I'd say easily 20 years ago and maybe even 15 years ago. But with three different generations in the workplace today, tenure is certainly not equivalent to competency. When I think about if someone is competent or not, I think about their training, their education, and their experience, but most importantly, how they apply that training, education, and experience. That's the true definition of competency, or if one is competent. And that's the beautiful thing about the Center for Public Safety Excellence, as well as, and with the two major bodies that's included within CPSC, the CFAI, Commission on Fire Accreditation International, which involves the accrediting of agencies, and then CPC, Commission on Professional Credentialing, which credentials individual officers and fire service professionals. And I'm very proud of the fact of having had the opportunity to serve as a commissioner for CPC for 9 years. And my last three of that nine served as chairman of the CPC. This extraordinary work being done by CPSC in general. And for me, when I go back and I look at what has helped me become a well-rounded fire and emergency services executive, it has been the credentialing process. It makes you look at your training, your education, your experience, your community involvement, your commitment to professional development, your commitment to progression. It is the only tool that executive fire officers have to ensure that they are indeed being as well-rounded as they can possibly be as a professional. And so you go through this process in regards to the initial application, and you know, you really are able to see where you're strong at and where you need to afford some attention to become a lot more well-rounded than what you may be. And a lot of people, they fall short on the community involvement piece. And that's what I address when I have fellow fire and emergency services professionals contact me and ask me for mentorship, whether it be going through the credentialing process or what they should work on as they try to get their CFO, their FO, or their CEMSO, et cetera. It's always the community involvement piece. But it's been a fantastic tool. And I say tool because it's an infinite process. Once you get credentialed, that's not it. You know, I remember I took fire officer 1021. I've gone through fire officer 1 through 4, but there's no CEUs. And that's something that I plan to work on, by the way, before it's all said and done. You know, apologize to anyone that doesn't want to hear that we should have CEUs with certain certifications in the fire service. And fire officer 1021 being one of them, but there's no CEUs. Once you get the cert, whether it be Pro Board or IFSAC, that's it. With this credentialing process, there is that you have to go back and go through the application again every 3 years. And that to me is exceptional. And then on accrediting side of the house for organizations, just like you go through what you do, how you do it, why you do it as a individual, you do the exact same thing as CFAI. And it not only makes individuals better within the organization, it makes the organization better as far as the services that they provide their respective community, but it also ensures that the right things are being done from a holistic standpoint. There's no corner that mediocrity can hide in with the CFAI model. And that is something that does us a great justice as professionals.
That's you know, it's just a great overview too, and the whole process is introspective by design, right? So it forces you, whether it's professionally or as organizationally, to be able to evaluate where you're at in relative to best practices and in next steps. So I want to kind of lead into the discussion, and you touched on CFAI and the accreditation. And you know, I was thrilled as a peer reviewer to see category 11 be focusing on health and safety, a standalone category, and the importance. And I know, just looking at from the outside, when you assumed command as fire chief of Hartford, you had a lot of issues that I'm sure were on your radar screen coming in as the new chief of department. And I know you made health and safety a priority for the department, for the members of the department. And you did it in a way with joint labor management approach. And I know, you know, Donnie pointed out my new role as chief strategy officer for LifeScan. I know we are getting ready to do your annual comprehensive medical physicals just coming up here in Hartford. And I don't think you maybe had physicals in place. I wonder if you can maybe just talk a little bit about, as a chief, the importance of prioritizing health and wellness of the members.
Sure. Thanks for that, Chief. And, you know, I'm going to try not to be long-winded about this, because I can literally talk about this for 5 days straight without even stopping, getting a sip of water. You know, as chiefs of departments, you know, there's really a few things that should not be compromised and that shouldn't even be contemplated from men and women who have the responsibility to serve firefighters within their respective organization. And that is to ensure that they have all of the resources, tools, and equipment to adequately do their job. They have policies in place that are designed to keep them safe. And last but not least, to ensure that the health and safety of every single member within the organization is safeguarded and is always priority number one. I mean, it's truly that simple. And the only way to do that, especially if you, and it doesn't matter if you're in a metro department or a small career department or combination department, volunteer department, doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter what type of service you provide, but collaboration, communication, and coordination is critical. Chiefs can't do it by themselves. I don't consider myself to be a political person, but I know how to navigate through those muddy waters. without getting political and being political. As a chief of the department, I understand that with me having a recognized collective bargaining agreement, I don't have a choice but to partner, to be professional, to be respectful towards my union president. That's non-negotiable. That's not even something that any chief should contemplate. Regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what's being done to you, you still have an oath of office that you have to uphold and expectations, not only from the person that put you in that position, whether that be a mayor or a city manager, but you have an obligation to your membership to always take the high road regardless of what's going on. And so for me, it's very simple. It's very simple to have an inclusive mindset in regards to, let's just say, labor, because I understand the responsibility and respect the position that my union leadership has. And why not work together to get everything done for my firefighters and the locals' membership? What's so difficult about that? Doesn't matter. I don't need the credit, don't want the credit, as long as the right things are getting done. And so for any challenges in regards to funding, because anytime we talk about health and safety, the main barrier is always, where are we going to get the money from, or how can we sustain the budget for this particular line item? And so for us, as you mentioned, we were very fortunate to apply for an AFG grant to be able to get all of our members a phenomenal health assessment and physical through LifeScan Wellness that we're also very excited about. I think to date, we have roughly 70% and counting of our members who've signed up to do the physical. And we're so ecstatic about that. And prior to LifeScan, we have always done an NFPA 1582 physical for entry level. And then the physicals after that are based on age, depending on how in-depth the annual physical will be. But the goal is to ensure that we have a comprehensive cancer pre-screening physical, preferably every single year, but if we can't do it every year, we're gonna shoot for every other year. And the only way to make that happen is to be joined at the hip with my union leadership so we can partner as we communicate the importance, the significance, and the why as to our desire to have this for, again, my firefighters and the union's membership. And we feel so blessed and fortunate to have LifeScan coming in, because at the end of the day, even if it saves one member's life, it was money well spent. And that's the goal. The goal, again, is to ensure that I, as the chief, when I look myself in the mirror and ask myself, have I done any and everything possible to ensure the health and safety of my membership? Without hesitation, that answer is always going to be yes. And it takes commitment to be able to do that. It takes time, and it takes humility, because again, you know, some people are so entrenched and so, I guess you could say, enamored with wanting to get all of the credit. That's not important. The credit should go to the men and women who gets the job done, and their protection and safety should be of the utmost importance more than anything else.
Yeah, well said, Chief. And if ever, you know, there's an area of commonality with management and labor, it certainly is taking care of our collective people. In your leadership, you know, and not only recognizing and implementing that, but in going out to secure the funding. And you point out a great point. I hear all the time about funding. And, you know, for those that are listening, what a great resource the assistance, the firefighter grants are for the United States Fire Service. And unfortunately, FEMA staff will tell you that even though health and wellness is a priority of that program, less than 5% of the applications are for health and wellness. So if you're listening, and we just had, I believe, another Recovery Act that was signed into law, an additional $100 million supplemental funding added to the assistance to firefighter grants. So There's a large bucket of dollars there that can help departments to get their physicals in place, their health and wellness, the behavioral health programs to support their members. So thanks for sharing your approach, Chief, and how successful it's been. I'm sure you've heard me with even my department in Broward County, just the last round of physicals, we identified 4 early cancers using LifeScan Wellness, 2 bladder cancers and 2 prostate cancers. And not only are they going to have great outcomes, but the department's saving a lot of money because of early detection in the cost. So,
and something else, Chief, just to add on to just how powerful true partnership and collaboration is between management and labor. You know, the AFG, we were successful with obtaining for the LifeScan Wellness physicals, but in the last 5 years, we've also been able to ensure that we have extractors in every single firehouse. We have wipes that gets harmful carcinogens off our members' bodies after a working job on every single apparatus. We created policy to ensure that after a working job, that through the tour commander, companies will go offline so they can immediately shower to get those harmful carcinogens off their persons. That's all been through the Joint Health and Safety Committee within our organization. And so with that, labor and management, again, working together to make an impact on the safeguarding of the health and safety of our membership. It's been so invaluable. And again, do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. That's impossible. But at the end of the day, there's been a lot more good than there's been headaches. And it's just truly remarkable what can happen if egos are put to the side and the membership is truly at the forefront of importance on from a labor and management perspective.
No, very, very well said. And for chiefs listening out there that are coming up amongst the ranks, you know, that's certainly some wise wisdom that, you know, how we approach organizational leadership. It's a team. And I, Donnie, I know you had a point you wanted to bring up as well.
I wanted to ask the chief with which I think the work that you're doing and have done with the wellness center and the physicals and all of that is remarkable. And then when I think of health, you know, as Todd knows, I'm always preaching about too. Part of, you know, the big piece about work-life balance is that where my research has been is that the greater we take care of ourselves, the more effective we're going to be at work and with our families.
That's right.
And with that said, how I'm just curious in your department, like for the, on the health side, how about for the exercise, you know, and the food that's served at the kitchen table, things like that. Have you got involved in leading that charge of into getting people to, you know, the firefighters to exercise more and things like that?
That's a great question, Doc. So we've actually, I've actually had requests from membership to have the ability to go offline to PT for an hour. And I immediately authorized the request. I just said, you know, coordinate that with the tour commander, but most certainly please PT, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, what was the old trainer, Billy Blanks, you know, it doesn't matter if they're doing something like that or, you know, if they're just doing calisthenics or playing basketball in the back parking lot, that's PT. So yeah, we support that 100%. And it's funny you mentioned that, Doc. I took your work-life balance survey.
I saw that. I wasn't going to mention, you know, that's
and so mentioned. So now, you know, I've been told through the results of my my answers that I'm 75% there. So now, Doc, my only question is, what do I have as far as external EAP? Because, you know, I have my EAP here, which I can utilize. But now I need EAP that's going to be referred by you, because now I guess I'm fat and lazy. That was the reason why I didn't get that other 25%. So I'm traumatized now, Doc. I'm traumatized.
And full disclosure, the results don't say fat and lazy. There was one answer on the weight piece, though, towards like, am I a little overweight or am I a big boy?
Yeah. And so I'm gonna say I was honest and said I'm a little overweight. That was my honest answer.
That's right. That's right.
Call it a work in progress, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, you're going out to California, so you'll have the nicer weather. And so,
exactly.
If your wife's listening and your daughters, there's no excuse at this point.
That's right.
No pressure. No pressure. That actually is a good segue, Donnie, as well. You touched on, and I'm sure you know it's been reported in fire circles, as you mentioned, that you've accepted the position to be the new chief of department for the city of Oakland, California, which is a department that's had a long history as well, like Hartford. And I wonder if you could touch a little bit about your decision. And what prompted that? I'm sure others are thinking that in the back of their mind. You've done great work in Hartford, but you've been there a good number of years, and you've made a lot of inroads and change. So what was the driving force for this next step in your career journey?
Thank you for that, Chief. And long story short, it's really just the challenge. We've done great things here. As a team here at HFD. And I truly mean that, from the mayor support to the partnership with labor, the community support has been tremendous. This is the birthplace of both of my daughters. I do slightly feel guilty in that regard, having to leave their birthplace. But it was nothing more than the challenges and opportunities that present themselves in Oakland. And HFD, we were established as a career department in 1864. Oakland was established as a career department in 1869. And the similarities are very, very astonishing between Hartford and Oakland in regards to culture and personality. And that's also enticing. Both are great organizations, and I'll speak more so about Oakland at this point. Oakland is a great organization, and I would not be being honest with you if I didn't say the ghost ship incident was a motivating factor. I believe my experience with community risk reduction programs, being that we established one of the first community risk reduction divisions in the country here in Hartford in 2011, and then my work since then to present date. I'm very, very much excited about getting on the ground in Oakland, seeing what it is we can do to establish a community risk reduction division there, conduct our first community risk assessment, and to just tie all the pieces together that has to be looped in from a community perspective, because the fire department cannot do it by itself. You know, it's going to take that partnership with building and code officials. It's going to take partnership with local businesses and associations. It's going to take effort in public education, proactive public education, consistent public education, and last but not least, the accountability piece that comes along with code enforcement and fire inspections. And so that's really it. You know, I'm absolutely in love with Hartford. I absolutely love my Hartford firefighters. It stings still as I'm mentioning or talking about leaving. It's inevitable at this point because I absolutely love them. And I'm confident that I'll have that same affinity when I get to Oakland and be able to meet my new team in Oakland.
Hey, Chief, if you would walk us through a little bit about how did you approach this with your wife and how, you know, not so much your 3-year-old, but your 8-year-old. Hey, honey, we're moving across the country. You know, how did that happen? What were the family dynamics like in that conversation?
So that's a great question, Doc. So even I was contacted by the firm that did the search, the Hawkins Company, and had maybe a 20-minute conversation with them initially when they reached out and asked, would I consider Oakland? And so once I hung up the phone, I immediately had a conversation with my wife and said, you know, hey, what are your thoughts? So we talked, and she gave me her blessing to go ahead and apply. And so that wasn't much of a challenge. And so for the 8-year-old, I was really concerned about her, just because, again, she has friends here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wanted to ensure that she would be comfortable as well, as much as an 8-year-old could be. But asked her, what did she think about moving first? So she gave me, you know, her blessing as I guess in the typical manner, 8-year-old would. Yeah, daddy. Yeah. and then asked her, well, what do you think about, you know, California? So, you know, she was equally excited about that. And
yeah.
And so she's a figure skater. She's actually a member of the U.S. Figure Skating Association. And she said, well, daddy, will they have a rink there? And will I still be able to skate? I said, yes, baby, you'll still be able to skate. Absolutely. So long as she can skate, she's happy.
There you go. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm excited for you. I know this is going to be a challenge, no doubt, coming into a new department and learning the community and learning the staff and the members, but certainly just looking at the departments that you've done that with and the legacy that you've left behind. I know it's really professionally, it's going to be a wonderful thing for Oakland, and I know you're going to do good out there. And I'll be out at the California Fire Chiefs Conference in September, so I look forward to seeing you out there, and look forward to continuing to watch the good work that you do in your career and for the fire service. So, I know we want to be mindful of your time, so I want to thank you for taking time out of your day today, Chief, and opening up with some insights. You know, you mentioned community involvement being so important. One of the things I see as a peer reviewer for professional credentialing that I think all of us might be able to continue to work on is, I think CPSE called it pass the baton, but that mentoring piece of chiefs coming up behind, in future chiefs coming up, and so you sharing your insights, what you've learned in how to approach in leadership. I know that's benefiting those that are listening to this podcast. So thank you for being, candid, transparent, as you always are, and thank you for being who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you so much for having me. It's been my honor and privilege, and thank you for everything that you continue to do for the fire service, and truly grateful to have you as a friend. And Dr. Hutchison, appreciate it so very much, and I'm going to fill out that survey again in 90 days and see if I can make it 100%. So,
all right.
But also, I just also want to say, you know, I've been joking a little bit about it, but for anyone listening, if you have not filled out that survey on Dr. Hutchison's site, please do so. I did it because I was really curious on where I would stack up. And so now I know what I need to work on, and that's exercising, obviously. And eating better. So, please take a look at it. Take the results very seriously. And I'm fairly certain Dr. Hutchison can consult with you or give you a shoulder to cry on, whichever one suits your fancy after you fill out that survey. So thanks again, Doc.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much, Chief. And this is Todd. Anything else?
I just want to again thank yourself, for co-hosting. Thank Chief for his insight and wisdom, and look forward to the next episode of LifeScan Learning Lab and partnering with Dr. Ghani.
All right. And that is Chief Freeman and of the LifeScan Wellness edition of the Get Balanced podcast.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.